It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening, and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, October the 22nd, and we are back in beautiful Austin, Texas, where the Formula One race is happening this weekend. So we're staying away from the crowd, but we have a great show for you here, and Art Mendoza of Accomplis Entertainment, producer of this program, is here to make the show run. In a few minutes after the break, we'll be joined on the phone from Houston by therapist and author Nathan Driscoll, who is going to discuss his new book, Internet Addiction, Kicking the Habit, a 30-day plan to take back your life. So if you have an internet addiction, this show is for you. And Laura Galavunas will be reporting in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I think the winter visitors are trickling in to the Mexican paradise of Vallarta, and Laura will tell us what they're all doing. And Art Mendoza, musician, artist, and producer of this program, will be joining us to talk about his upcoming show, art show, musical concert. And along the way, I will be discussing how to detox from toxic people. So I think that is an important topic as we see angry people these days. How do we remain calm and not be influenced by that and become angry people? We don't want to become angry people. So I'll talk about that later in the show. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email me at Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And if you do have a question, be sure to call or email while the guest is here on the phone, on the air, so that they can answer your question. Okay? And if you want information from previous shows or updates about upcoming programs, if you want to read about the previous shows or listen to them, listen to the podcast, or read my blog, learn about my book, learn about my new online consulting service, all of that is at my website, which is drmarakarpel.com, and I'll spell that for you again, drmarakarpel.com. And all of the previous shows here from Blog Talk Radio are on blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, and you can hear all of the previous podcasts. And if you want to follow what's going on with this show and learn about upcoming shows, as we're getting ready to do them, or learn about my blogs as they're posted, then go to my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And you can learn about my book and get previews of my upcoming book coming out in 2018 by going to my other Facebook page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed therapist here in Austin, Texas, and also in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages, but I have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past 7 years, I've been working with veterans to evaluate for PTSD and other issues related to military service. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this great resource center for veterans and for veterans' families, you can check out their website, heroesnightout.org. If you want to contact me, if you have a question or something that you think I should know about, or if you're interested in my online consulting service, then send me an email at drmara@drmaracarpell.com or go through my website, drmaracarpell.com, or call me, 512-626-6973. And be sure to leave a voicemail because usually I'm busy, I don't pick up, but I do return calls. And this evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, we're going to take a brief break. And don't go anywhere because when we come back, Finn Driscoll will be joining us on the phone from Houston to talk about his book, Internet Addiction, Kicking the Habit, a 30-day plan to take back your life. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Go.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Carpell will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpell.com. And now joining us on the phone from Houston, we have therapist and Asperger's specialist and internet addiction specialist, as well as author, Nathan Driscoll. Good evening, Nathan.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. I just want to let you know there's a slight delay when we talk like this.
And no problem.
I hear a little bit of an echo, so you might want to turn down if you have the show on another. It won't echo. There you go. Okay. Sound good. So thank you for coming on the program.
You're welcome.
And I think this topic is really important. And that I think it my perception of it, and you're the expert, so you can let us know. It seems like a really, really important topic. But before we, you know that it's prevalent, really prevalent issue. But before we get into discussing internet addiction, why don't you briefly give our listeners a little bit about your professional background?
Yes, I'm a licensed professional counselor. I've been a therapist for almost 7 years now, and I've been working in the Houston area, and I've been mainly in the past few years working in my private practice, and I've been specializing in internet addiction mainly because I'm a recovering addict. I also specialize in treating high-functioning autism, also known as Asperger's, and I've been kind of doing both those specialties for a few years now.
Okay, all right. And, you know, well, what led you to write this book?
Well, I've been treating people with this for a while, and I decided that I wanted to write a 30-day plan, something that people with this condition can do to kind of jumpstart their recovery, because there's very few resources for people that are addicted to the internet and electronics. And I felt that I could take some of the principles I use in my practice and put it in a 30-day guide so they can start taking back their life and then hopefully gain help further.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, is the internet really addictive?
It's extremely addictive, which basically means to say everything is addictive if in large amounts, but the internet is especially so because it's very stimulating. One of the things I tell my clients is you're not addicted to the internet electronics, you're addicted to the stimulation, and because with the stimulation, it's so prevalent, it's so much that we just can't stop looking at it. The analogy I use is television to computers. Television is a passive activity. You sit back, you listen, you watch. The internet's an active activity. You are an active participant. What you do matters, and that's what the addictive component is.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, the internet's not all bad, right? I mean, we're on the internet right now talking to each other, and people are listening through the internet, and we met on LinkedIn, which is a, you know, an internet social media. So how would I know if I'm actually addicted to the internet and it's not just something that I'm using as a positive tool?
How you can really determine that is asking yourself if you're spending excessive amounts of time on it and if you're basically giving up other activities or responsibilities for this time. And I'm not talking about if you're doing schoolwork or you're doing work. I mean, if we all use the internet now for work and also for entertainment. But if you're using it for non-productive activities and you're excluding relationships, you're excluding responsibilities, and other people are starting to tell you, hey, you know, you're kind of blowing me off or you're not doing things like you used to, then you might have a problem.
Okay. Okay. And that sounds like that would fit with most addictions, right, where it takes over your life.
Exactly, exactly. There's not many differences between internet addiction, really, and drug and alcohol addiction. It starts out small and it starts to build. The only main difference, really, is with internet addiction, it's a socially acceptable activity. I mean, if you're on the internet 10, 12 hours a day, you can say, well, everyone else is too, and no one, there's no stigma behind it to say, hey, you're doing wrong, or hey, you need help. It's considered normal behavior.
Right. So, you know, you brought up drugs and alcohol and, you know, and certainly, you know, addictions like drug addictions and alcohol addiction and even food addiction, we know that there are medical consequences for those addictions and relationship consequences and even employment. But what about internet? I mean, how is that something that really affects us in a negative way?
Well, if you want to talk about health problems with the internet, there's many of them. For example, with me, I'm a recovering addict. I spent 6 years playing 12 to 14 hours a day in a game, and now I have nerve damage in my neck and my back to where my neck is often in pain. I have carpal tunnel in one of my hands. I have eye problems because of it. Because of all these, for years, my body started to deteriorate. And now that it affected my sleep patterns, I wake up 2, 3, 4, 5 times a night, even 15 years later, because of all the damage I did to myself and I didn't even know it. And that's just the health and the health damages for me. Some people, they're having extreme health issues. I've had clients that, this might sound wrong, but had to wear diapers because they wouldn't stop playing the game. I've had to hospitalize people before because they wouldn't eat or they wouldn't do anything and they were dying. And that's the extreme levels. Now, that's extreme addiction. That's not your normal person, but it can get to that point.
Wow. So how is that different than, like, having a job where that requires you to sit on a computer for 8 hours a day in terms of the health issues?
See, that's the thing, though. Usually the 8 hours a day, though, the job you get up, you go home, you go do other things. This is something you feel you need to do all the time, day or night, to where you can be on 16, 17, 18 hours.
Mm.
I have some clients sometimes who are on 20 hours a day to where they can never get off. When I was addicted before, and I'm still addicted now, and I have to watch myself, but I would get up 4, 5, 6, 7 times a night. I'd probably get 3 to 4 hours of sleep, and that's why I damage my sleep schedule and my brain so much.
Mm.
And I've seen clients do this a lot because they just feel they need to be on. I have to be on. I have to be checking. I have notifications. I have things I need to do. And this basically takes over their life.
Wow. And how does that affect? Obviously, it sounds like that would affect relationships and even jobs.
Well, let's see, that's the problem. Usually when you're in this kind of addictive state, your relationships and jobs of either they're extremely damaged or they've died because people have abandoned them because, hey, you're in the game all the time, or you're in this activity or this social media thing all the time, and employers aren't going to tolerate that, and then relationships aren't going to tolerate that. So there's so much damage. When the addict starts to try to get back their life, there's so much damage that sometimes it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, I would imagine. So, you know, how common is this? You know, we see people on the computer all the time, but how common is it where it's actually an addiction?
That is a very good question, and to be honest with you, we really don't know, because we don't know really within the United States what is considered normal usage and what's considered addictive usage. I saw a study about a year and a half ago that said about your normal teenager spends 8 hours a day on media. Now, that's the equivalent of a full-time job, and this is during school. Now, if that's the average, is that normal behavior? So how do we determine what's addiction and what's normal behavior? And that's the problem. Now, to me, in my world, that's addiction because 8 hours a day is a lot. And then often, and that, if that's the average, then imagine the people that are doing 12 or 13. And that's the issue. We consume so much media and so much information that it's considered normal, and we don't even know if we're addicted or not. Which means, to me, I answer the question, really, is it damaging your life, your relationships, your friends, your education, your work? Is there damage, and have you tried to get off it, and you failed?
Right. That sounds like... It's a good test because that feeling like I have to do it, I think, is really, really, really common, right? And the and the damage part. I mean, that's I mean, obviously, if it's already starting to damage your relationships or your work or your health, then that's a problem.
Yes.
So. And obviously, you know, we have a problem in the United States where people aren't getting up and moving enough, right? So I'm sure it contributes to that, too. It's, you know, all part of it. People are sitting in front of their computer rather than getting outside and moving around.
That's right. There's so much sedentary lifestyle with the Internet that we're harming ourselves in basically the sitting and our posture and all that. And then our eyes and our ears, because we all got something plugged in with headphones or something. That's one of the things. It's a sad joke sometimes I say is if I was to be a doctor now, I'd want to become a specialist with the eyes or a specialist with the back or the neck or the ears, because we're doing so much damage. They're going to make a lot of money because of it.
Mm-hmm. Probably also carpal tunnel doing those kind of surgeries, right?
Yeah.
So is this a hard addiction to quit? I mean, there's so much around us that encourages us to be on the computer, and we're on our jobs. We sometimes have to be on the computer, and that seems like it's almost like an alcoholic having to work in a bar.
That's a very good analogy, and you're right. This is one of the most difficult addictions because, unlike drugs and alcohol, you need to be online. You need access. It doesn't matter who you are, what job you have, because you need – that's how we can connect now. And we can't abstain. There's no abstaining with the internet. You have to know how to use it, which means that temptation, that element you're addicted to, is there 24 hours a day, and you just have to deal with it. And that analogy you had is a very good one. I use a similar one. I worked in a hospital once, and I was doing a group, and they asked me about alcohol and drugs, and I was talking about the internet and how it's addictive, and a guy told me it's not addictive. I said, well, imagine if you're an alcoholic and you live in a liquor store, and you get two drinks a day. You get two beers a day, but you never can have the good stuff that's right on the shelf. Be sober. You get your two drinks, but never have the good stuff ever, and it's there every minute of every day. And he looks at me and says, I'd be done. I could never survive that. I said, that's what internet addiction is. It's always there. You have to use it, but don't do that thing that you're addicted to forever. And that's just, that doesn't work. It's so hard because even sometimes the things that we don't want to do or that we do want to do, we have to do, and then that urge is there, and then we can slip right back into it.
Right. Wait, let me just open this one link and take a peek.
Mm-hmm. Or right. I'll play 5 minutes with this one game. No big deal.
Mm-hmm. So you say that your plan takes 30 days to get through it. Is that a realistic amount of time that it'll take 30 days? What is it, you know, what would someone have to do?
See, it's 30 days, really. See, here's the truth. After 30 days, you're not going to be cured of anything. You're not going to go, I don't have a problem anymore, no, because just – think about 6 months to a year, but the 30 days is a beginning point. It's like a breaking point. It's where you're going to change your behavior, and then you're going to stick with the changes in the book for afterward. And hopefully during this, you're seeing a therapist or a quad professional to help you, and afterward especially. This book really should not be used just by itself. You should be seeking a professional to help you because this is a severe addiction.
Okay. Okay, well, that makes sense because, you know, you talked about, well, one of the things that you mentioned that just stuck with me was that once people start to go back to a life that doesn't include all that internet use, they find that things have broken down in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Very much.
So what would be the benefit for that person to quit, to go through that difficult time?
Well, really, to gain their purpose back in their life. Often people are addicted to the internet because there's a problem existing in their life beforehand. They're using it as a coping skill. There's something there that they're trying to either cover up or trying to ignore or trying to bury. And with this, you need to confront the reasons why you're addicted to the internet. And my book talks about, actually, a third of my book is trying to figure out what you gain from the internet, why you're addicted to the internet, so that you can start moving past it. Because while this is a coping skill, it's become a negative one, and it's become a crutch. And now you need to go out and try to figure out why you're, and this is why you need a therapist or a professional to help you with all these other problems underneath so that you can go find your purpose and gain your life back.
I really love that you write about finding your purpose, because I talk about that a lot on this show and I write about it a lot. I think that, you know, people do get into all different kinds of addictions or even become depressed or anxious because they don't know what their purpose is in life, and or they have a dream and they're afraid to follow it. So, you know, how does that relate specifically to internet addiction? Do you feel like?
Well, I'll tell you that most of my clients I see are adolescents and are young adults, and half of them have told me after time that the reason I've gotten addicted to the internet is I didn't know what I wanted to do for my life, and it was an easy escape. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and so now I decided to go into the internet to do something I love because I had no ideas and I just didn't know what to do. There's too many choices, or I feel that I can't succeed in the world. So I'm going to try to succeed in what I'm good at. I might be a YouTube star. I might be a video game player. I might do something like that instead of challenging this belief that you don't know what to do and actually going and figuring out what you want.
That's interesting. Okay, you know, I don't work with that age population, so that's interesting to me. Do you see any older people who have this addiction?
I see some, not too many. Often when I do, it's because they've done this. Often it's either a pornography addiction or it's a social media or sometimes gaming. But usually it's because the spouse has brought them in because it's destroying their relationship or it's destroying their job.
Right. Okay. So older people do have this addiction. You just don't necessarily, they don't necessarily come into therapy for it.
Yes, sometimes they do, but most of my population, at least, is mostly adolescents and young adults.
Okay. So, the other thing that I caught in here that really struck me, like I love this, when you talk about having real flesh and blood relationships with people versus people whom we might refer to as friends from social media or gaming. So what is and why is the first one more healthy for us? Some people feel like, well, I have friends because I get on the computer and they're friends.
Because often when you're on the computer and it's an online relationship, there's not much feeling, there's not much attachment. It's a friend of convenience. I can have this friend when I want, and when I don't, I can turn the friend off. I can disconnect. I cannot answer messages. I can disconnect. Where in real life, you don't have that. In real life, you talk, you get together, you meet. It's actually a real relationship. That is the main difference to me, is that you have the give and take, the back and forth. Where online, it's usually I get, but I don't need to. I take, but I don't need to give. This is all about me. Where a real relationship, it's 50-50. Sometimes you're there for them and they're there for you. And then if you just have friends like this, you don't know how to have real relationships. And then you start thinking that everything's about you and your needs. And then when you're alone later on in your real life, you don't realize that real relationships take time and work.
Right. And it seems like, you know, you miss out on that real connection. The you know, face-to-face connection has a chemical reaction in our body, you know, when we actually get together with our friends and enjoy an activity together rather than looking at a screen, right? So
it's a very big difference.
Yeah. And you asked the question in the book, but I had to sit and think about that. You know, would your friend be someone who would pick you up at 3 o'clock in the morning if you were stranded?
Mm-hmm. And
right.
The reason I ask that question is I've actually been in that situation. I was stranded once. My friend had to pick me up, and they were stranded, and I had to pick them up. And that's one of the things, like, would this friend do this for you, or would they blow you off because it's not convenient? To me, that's what a real friend is in these online relationships. Now, sometimes they can become these kind of friendships. Sometimes they can. But often they're not. And then when you don't have real people that care about you, that can lead to severe loneliness, and that can lead to a host of many other problems.
Right, right. I mean, my impression is somebody who's addicted to the Internet is they're sitting home alone. And they think that they have friends because they're watching them on a screen, but they aren't really going out with those people and spending time with them.
Yes,
so
that's usually correct.
I agree with you. I have made some real flesh and blood friends that I met on social media, but we ended up getting together in person, leaving the Internet and actually meeting for, you know, coffee or meeting for lunch and becoming real friends. So we had to leave the computer home.
That can happen, but for many of my clients, especially the young adults and teenagers, they don't see a need to get out and to meet. They're like, we have the Internet, we have the computer, why do we have a need to meet in person? I'm like, because you could go out and do things in the real world. Why? I have them on the computer right here. I can do whatever I want. It's like,
right.
It hurts because I can't understand that mindset. Because to me, a friend is something you go out and do things with. A friend is someone you talk to about personal stuff, and you talk. And that's the thing. They don't talk about personal things. It's all about the game or the activity they're in, and there's nothing more they really discuss.
Right, right. so it doesn't go very deep.
No.
And I don't know if you have any insight into this, but, you know, I've been trying to figure it out myself, so maybe you can help me. Do you I have noticed that people are less compassionate than they used to be and a little, like, colder. And there's that disconnect and less of an understanding of other people. Do you think that has to do with this issue, that people are just connecting on a computer rather than in person?
Yes, because when you start seeing text on the screen, there's no face, there's no identity to it. There's not a person you can attach emotionally to this, and to where you can be colder, you don't have, and there's not much consequence to being this way. On the internet, you can be anonymous, you can say whatever you want, and you don't have this emotional connection. So I think this has kind of seeped into us in general, to where we don't have empathy for people that we even call our friends online, because we feel it's a waste of time, because we feel nothing. I think a lot of people, when they're online with these friends, they don't really feel anything besides the instant gratification they gain from maybe playing a game with them or doing something with them. I don't think there's any long-term deep feelings because the technological barrier.
Right. Right. Well, that, you know, that makes sense, because I've been trying to figure out why people are becoming meaner and don't really listen. And if it's so prevalent, people are becoming more and more immersed in the internet rather than interacting personally with people, then that could be a very big part of the reason. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if somebody has figured out that this is affecting their life and they want to make a change, it sounds like, you know, you're saying to get professional help, but your book is a really great guide, and I really love the fact that you broke down the 30 days with very specific goals and to-do lists, because it seems like it would be really overwhelming if somebody wasn't there saying, okay, do this today. And I encourage listeners, you know, who might think that the internet is negatively affecting their life to pick up this book. But are there some quick points that you might make to some of the listeners out there who might be dealing with this addiction or don't even realize that they are?
One of the things I would say to somebody that's listening that might have this issue is you have to be honest with yourself, and you need to admit that I have a problem. It's easy to go, nope, everybody else does this, nope, I don't got a problem. But if you're spending 10, 12, 14 hours a day playing a game or on social media or pornography or anything, any activity like this, and this is mainly what you do, then you got to ask yourself, why do I do this and how do I change? And you got to ask yourself a hard question of why do I do this? And that's a very scary thing, because we don't want to know the answer. We're robotic. We want to just go and do what we do. But you got to understand why you're doing this. And that why kind of tells you what you need to change. A lot of people with this, they have social anxieties. They don't know how to talk to people, meet people, or they got such low self-esteem that they don't know how to change these things. And from there, you got to ask yourself, okay, well, if those are the issues, how do I change that? And this book kind of helps you get out of your comfort zone. It helps you get out of the safe feeling, the safeness in your mind, and go out and do and take a risk. And it's a very mm-hmm. broken down step by step, like you said. But basically, you got to ask yourself, okay, what do I really want for my future, and what is holding me back?
Right, right. And that part, I agree. It does help to have a professional working with you, because sometimes it's hard to see those things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
So Nathan, this is really interesting, and I hope that this, you know, that people really pick up on this, because I think it affects all of us, even people who might not have the internet addiction, because of that lack of empathy that is spreading. If people are interested in reading this book or reading your other book that you wrote, or learning about your therapy practice, how can they do that?
You can just go to Google and just type NathanDriscoll.com, and it's NathanDriscoll.com, and you can find out everything about my practice, articles I've written about numerous things. You can find out how to get both my books. If you want to get my book right now, the easy thing to do is just go to Google and type Internet Addiction Kicking Habit, and it'll pop right up in the first search results, and you can click it. And you can get an ebook or you can get a paperback. I sell both versions.
Okay. Okay, great. And actually, after the program, on my web post, I'm going to put the link to go to your website. So if people didn't have their pen and paper, they could just click on that, and it'll take them right there.
Excellent.
So I really appreciate you coming on the program this evening. I this is a really important topic, and I really enjoyed reading your book, and it made me think about curbing my own habits before they get out of hand. and thank you so much for coming on the program.
You're very welcome. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you have a good evening.
You too.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere because we have a lot more to come.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And before I go on to the next topic, which I think is somewhat related to Nathan's topic of internet addiction and what we were talking about in terms of the lack of empathy and compassion, I want to talk about detoxing from toxic people. And you know, that toxicity that I'm talking about is really lack of empathy and lack of compassion. And some of that might be, you know, we've just kind of hypothesized that comes from the overuse of the internet. And some of it happens on the internet. I mean, I think people have come across people who are quite mean on the internet, but it could also happen in person, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But before I get to that, I want to just fill you in on the news. I want to congratulate, first of all, our friend and a friend of this show, veteran First Sergeant Will Williams. Yesterday, Art and I had the honor of attending his award ceremony at Texas A&M in Killeen, Texas, where Will was awarded the Congressional Veteran Commendation for all of his tireless community service, which has occurred since his retirement from the military. So he had a long military career with a lot of service to this country, but he has been serving the community in, you know, amazing ways since his retirement. And he's been on the show multiple times talking about all of the different volunteer activities that people can get involved with. And he'll be back on the program. And you can find out more about what he's doing, and you can get involved by going to his website called sharethewill.org, sharethewill.org, or by checking out his Facebook page, which is called Share the Will. And I would recommend that, and volunteering and being part of the community is a great way to avoid internet addiction, I would say. So also, I mentioned earlier my online consulting service, and if you haven't listened before, I just launched an online consulting service so that if if you're a caregiver or you live in another part of the country, you're not here in Austin, and even here in Austin, I'm only doing this online actually because I am traveling a lot. I have a consulting service to help you through the issues in being a caregiver, as well as for people who are looking for their purpose in life or are interested in starting a new career or finding their path after retirement. And it's not psychotherapy. Psychotherapy is focused on diagnoses and issues like anxiety or depression. This is more informational and support in looking towards a brighter future, and also just information about practical things that you can do if you're a caregiver, because I have worked with caregivers for over 25 years. So that's that. And again, you can contact me at drmara@drmaracartel.com or call me at 512-626-6973 if you're interested. And we keep posting videos, YouTube videos of the interviews I've done with guests in the studio. You can see those. You can see my blog from Huffington Post and ThriveGlobal.com. I had a new one last week that was published. All of that, and find out about my upcoming book, all of that is on my website, drmaracartel.com. And as I mentioned, the web post to this show, after later tonight or early tomorrow morning, will include any web links that my guests talk about. Okay, so let me talk about detoxing. Or transforming venom is what I like to title this. So, you know, I'm grateful for all of the many teachers who have been there for me and helping me to learn along my path in life and helping me to follow my dream or even figure out what my dream is. There are many, many teachers, and many of them right here, the guests on my program, who really have taught me a lot. But there are also teachers that are very uncomfortable kind of teachers, and these are people who sometimes say mean things to us or are extremely overly critical of us. I wrote about this a while back in Huffington Post about overcoming critics and how we can deal, you know, sometimes people that we care about can be overly critical because they care about us and they have fear for us. And so it comes out in ways that can feel very critical. And sometimes people can be, as I said, overly critical or even verbally assaulting, maybe because, again, out of their own fear or jealousy or anger or their own personal pain. And when they're on the internet, it can hurt. You know, some people are more sensitive than others. If it's somebody that we don't know on social media who says something, I'm sure it's happened to everybody. But when it's somebody that you actually know, it makes a, you know, bigger difference. And so going back to that article that I wrote in 2016, one of the things to keep in mind is a tip from Dr. David Ricco, who wrote in The 5 Things We Cannot Change, one of the absolute truths is that people are not loving and loyal all of the time, and that this even applies to our closest relationships. And one tip that Rico gave for preventing hurt feelings is to keep the focus on the disagreement on a topic rather than flinging personal attacks at each other. But there are times that even as much as we try to prevent it, people will say hurtful things. And so one way to prevent becoming really distraught by it and hurt by it, it is to, as Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of the Four Agreements, suggests, don't take anything personally. And what he says is that nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. And when you're immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be a victim of needless suffering. And so the other part of that is we need to ask ourselves if we also have become so caught up in being right that we've made personal attacks as well. And so it's important to try not to make those kind of personal attacks and to be loving and kind and compassionate in order to prevent personal attacks coming back at us. Louise Hay wrote about, you know, she was the author of You Can Heal Your Life, and she wrote about forgiveness. And forgiveness doesn't mean that we say it's okay when another person treats us poorly. It's just letting go of the anger that we're carrying towards them, because if we keep carrying that anger, then we don't have the energy to go on with our own life in a happy way. So I think, you know, that's a very important way of detoxing from having somebody say really nasty things to us is to forgive them. And understanding that when somebody says something mean and nasty to us, very often it's because they themselves are in pain. So, you know, that doesn't mean that it's okay. But if we know that that person is in pain and we can have a little bit of compassion for them, it takes away some of the sting towards us. It helps us to not take it personally, as Don Miguel Ruiz says, and it helps us to forgive them. But again, if this is someone that continuously says mean and nasty things, it wasn't just that day they weren't feeling well and they just kind of were in a bad mood and maybe we said something that kind of ticked them off, but this is a pattern, then we want to, you know, it's important to ask yourself the question, you know, why am I spending time with somebody who does that? We can forgive someone without saying it's okay and I'm going to keep spending time with them and letting them treat me that way. There's a difference. So forgiveness is really for ourselves. It's letting go of the weight, and it's to detox, really. But it doesn't mean that it's okay for another person to treat us that way. So I had to come up with some other ways. You know, that's one way, but well, what do we do in addition to that to alchemize, to transform these kind of venomous slinging of arrows, into something healing? And so going through this, so, you know, I talk a lot about mindfulness meditation, and I talk about it a lot because it's a really good technique for many different things. This appears in most of my blogs. It appears on most of the topics that I discuss here on the show, because when we practice mindfulness meditation, it gives us the ability to step back away from the situation and to see it more clearly. So we can step back and we can disconnect the emotional reaction and calm down and think of a more appropriate way of responding than just reacting in anger. And it helps us to really see the situation and say, hey, this person's in pain and they're just snapping at anyone who comes near them. So I'm going to stay away from them until they can kind of get it together. But I don't need to take it personally. I don't have to feel that the horrible things that they said about me are true and that I'm a horrible person. Now, that's not to say that if somebody, notices that we're doing something that's harmful or that we're being nasty and they point it out to us that we should just ignore it. You know, it's good to take criticism and look at it and use it positively and saying, we can all change a little bit. But when we're overly criticized and verbally assaulted, that kind of, it takes away any kind of positive in that. And we need to step back and not take it personally, heal themselves. You know, we were talking earlier when I was talking to Nathan about having a purpose. Having a purpose is a really powerful way of detoxing from venom that is thrown at us. If we have a goal, if we have a dream, then, we always have a choice. I mean, that dream, for me, following my dreams is my North Star. That's what helps me through every sad, difficult, upsetting situation is I know that I have this purpose and it's important for me to keep going. I might take a break and recuperate, but I'm going to get back on the path toward my purpose. And my dad used to quote Yogi Berra all the time, and I recently heard the story of where Yogi Berra came up with this famous quote that he had, which was, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. My dad used to say it all the time, and I just recently learned that it was real. Where Yogi Berra lived, no matter which way you went at the fork in the road, it took you to his house. So when you come to the fork in the road, take it. And so I am using this in the sense of following your dream and always having a choice, because I think when we're hit with venom from another person, from an angry person, we have a choice to get knocked off track and spend a lot of time obsessing about what this person said to me and what does it mean and why did they say it, or getting back on track and saying, well, I have this purpose in my life and I'm not going to let that knock me off. I need to stay on track towards my purpose and get excited again about our dream. But sometimes it takes a little longer than other times. Sometimes we get knocked off track and we're human and we have to sit there licking our wounds for a while. But the point is that we always have that choice at every moment. So if it takes you a day or it takes you a week or it takes you a year, for some people maybe they've been holding on to this for 10, 15, 20 years. That's too much. But even at that point, they have a choice. At every moment they have a choice. And as soon as you make that choice to get yourself back on track, then you're back on track. And so we always have that choice. So like Yogi Berra says, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. I choose to take it sooner rather than later because I don't want to waste that time. I want to enjoy my life. Life is short enough as it is. The other thing is that if somebody tells you things about you and they say that they know you, they know you better than you, and you are this terrible person who this is wrong with you and that's wrong with you. That's another way of spewing venom at someone. And a friend of mine who left a very verbally, emotionally abusive marriage. Told me that she, when her husband used to say that to her, all those kind of things, she would think to herself, well, he did not know my favorite cookie. And that would bring her back to the reality that he doesn't really know everything about her. And those things that he was saying about her are really not true. So just remember, people don't know every single thing about you. And if it's something that you can think of like that, that they don't know my favorite cookie, then use that. We really know ourselves the best if we spend time getting to know ourselves and quieting all of this noise around us. That's the other thing that mindfulness meditation is good for. It helps us to go inside and to trust our gut. And so, you know, we may have people in our life who know us really well and really have our best interest at heart, and they may point things out to us that we didn't notice, and that's great. But if something, even in a good, you know, a good intention points something out to you that doesn't feel right in your gut, that, no, I don't really think that's true, then, you know, I think it's important to trust your gut. But turning off the internet, for example, and turning off the noise, not getting caught up in the pain of somebody saying something negative to you, and really spending time getting to know yourself and quieting your mind helps you to be more in touch with that gut feeling. When I look back, I know that every time I've had a gut feeling about something, it has always turned out to be correct. I didn't see it, may not have seen it right away. It might have gone a couple of years before it showed itself to be true. And if I did not listen to my gut feeling, it usually led to a negative outcome. So it's really important to listen to our gut. And you know, there are many other ways of detoxing, you know, right? Keeping a gratitude journal is really, really powerful. And surrounding yourself with positive people who treat you with love and respect is really, really powerful. People who treat you well give you the message that you deserve to be treated well. And then finally, be kind. So if somebody treats you unkindly, don't use it as a reason to be unkind to other people. If you're kind to other people, it will come back to you in a positive way. You'll get reinforced for that, and it feels really good to be kind and generous. And I really feel that that is probably the most powerful way to detox from negative, mean things that are said to you. All right, so on that note, we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, Laura Galazunas will be reporting in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock. Teach his stories how to live, and he knows how to live. Yeah. the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That poppy CT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place. Punta Mita time.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Merrick Bartel in your golden years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on drmerrickbartel.com. And now Laura Galazunas is joining us from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Good evening, Laura.
Hey, Mara, how are you tonight?
I'm okay. How are things in Vallarta?
Well, we lost a little of our humidity today, so it was the ultimate pool day.
Oh, nice. Starting to become the beautiful weather that we love, right?
Well, the dew point is still 76 degrees, but it's not 83, so. So definitely nice and cool. Not a cloud in the sky, brilliant blue. Just awesome. Awesome
Very
day to
nice.
Be floating. Poaching like an egg. I know, it's not good for my skin, but, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, you're getting the vitamin D.
That's right. I'm getting lots of vitamin D.
Right. So are people starting to come back down there? Is it,
you know, as a matter of fact, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of interesting.
It's a little earlier than usual, isn't it?
A little earlier than usual, yes. So, yeah, some things, one of my friends is a, I don't know what she calls it, preacher, I guess, at a church, local church, Episcopalian church, and she said they had 24 people today for Mass, so she was all excited.
Uh-huh.
She said that usually, you know, they usually have between, 70 to 90 during high season, so, you know, they had four last, you know, sometimes. So she's like, yeah, people are coming back early.
Okay, so are activities starting to pick up a little bit?
Activities are definitely starting to pick up. Of course, Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, is the end of the month, October 29th through November 2nd.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a special, like, kind of like a self-guided tour that they're doing with different restaurants and the cemetery here and some other places, so you can go and, you know, see how the altars and, you know, graves are decorated, and you can see Katrina displays, and there's, of course, singing and dancing and other things that go along with the festival. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a big deal
cool.
down there. That's a big holiday.
Yes, it is. I mean, yeah, if, you know, all through Mexico, and they have a big celebration here. I had a chance to go to Pátzcuaro in Michoacán, the state of Michoacán, for their Day of the Dead, which is like the biggest in Mexico, and it takes place at the cemetery in Sinsunsin. It took me a long time to learn how to say that, and it's really spectacular, and it's pretty cool. I think it's gotten a little too commercialized, though, in the last several years. It's been probably about 10 years since I've been down there, so some people said it's gotten a little too touristy instead of being true to what it is, but definitely a, you know, interesting time if you can go down, you know, head out there for that event. A lot of, there's still some, right now, several places are raising money for the Oaxaca earthquake victims, which, of course, didn't get as much publicity as Mexico City, because that place, you know, where it's located at in Oaxaca is a really poor area, so they're not getting, you know, as much help. So there's been contingents from Puerto Vallarta going down there with supplies and volunteers, because a lot of those homes have been condemned and the people are living out in the street in front of their house because they can't go in their house.
Wow.
So it's pretty dire situation there, and a lot of people don't realize that all these people have been kicked out of their houses because they're, you know, in danger of falling down, but yet they have nowhere else to go, so they're like literally living in front of their house.
Wow.
Yeah, sleeping in hammocks, I know a group down took a bunch of cots for people to sleep on so they wouldn't have to sleep on the ground, you know, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really dire situation there still. So several restaurants in that have held fundraisers, and I know we filled up one truck already with, you know, building supply, you know, just things people need, water, food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people lost everything. So, you know, and even though that's been quite a while since the earthquake, it's still, those people are still living outside, living in front of their houses. One woman posted photos, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Wow. Wow,
so,
that's incredible.
Yeah, nobody knows. I mean, that's, you know, it makes the news one day, and then, you know, and I'm sure it's the same anywhere after a disaster.
Right.
The aftermath is almost worse than the actual disaster itself. So that's been going on. So there's been quite a few fundraisers for the earthquake relief.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. I know that people that come down there tend to be people who like to get involved.
Oh, definitely. You know, you talk to people who are newly down here, or if you're bored, then it's your own fault. Because there is, you know, there's plenty to do down here and get involved. And getting involved is a great way to meet people, you know, and help out the community and, you know, branch out, you know. So our last Friday Foodies was Friday.
Did you go?
Of course. It was a potluck. I'm all about the potluck. Even though some people get as creative as, you know, bringing a bowl of salsa and chips, but, you know, some people, you know, go out on a limb, you know, and make some fun food. So, So our last Friday Foodies. So that little adventure is over as we head into high season and everybody switches over to raising money. The woman who organizes Friday Foodies also runs the PER Project Cat Ranch, and she has just a ton of fundraisers throughout the year. Because they got, I don't know, probably 170 or 180 cats. So, it's a lot of cat chow. So.
And are there a lot of fun things that's starting to pop up?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. We're getting ready for the Festival Gourmet, which is November 10th through the 19th. And that's, well, they have probably around 20 restaurants participating, and each restaurant then brings in a chef from anywhere in the world. And I'm working with one restaurant, Kaiser Maximilian, who's bringing a chef who won some big cooking award in Austria.
Wow.
So he brings the chef in. The chef shares, you know, his recipes. Then there's a chef's table dinner one night, which I believe is 6 courses with wine pairings, and kind of gets to show off, you know, his cooking skills. So during the week and a half or whatever that it's on, there's different events each night. So there's different chef's tables. There's wine tastings. There's, I don't know, some kind of cheese thing, wine and cheese thing. It'd be wine, cheese, and chocolate. That's 3 food groups right there. So that's one night. And so, yeah, so different events each day. And, you know, several chef's tables that you can attend. You know, 6-course dinner for around $100 a person, which is really inexpensive for top quality, you know, dining and wine. So.
Right.
So that's coming up. Yeah, a lot of eating. The theater is kicking off its fall season with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. which opens
wow.
on October 31st. Yeah, it's
live.
I don't know. I mean, I was talking. You know, you talk to these people that are like a lot younger, and I'm like, oh, are you bringing props? They look at you, and I'm like, oh. You go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you got to have your props with you, man. Water gun, toast, deck of cards. I mean, all that kind of stuff. You know, like, they're like, what? I'm like, oh, forget it. You're not getting it.
It was a thing.
So that opens.
Time.
I know. One thing at a time.
It was
the
thing.
Expats
it was a thing at one time.
It was a lot of fun. It was crazy.
So the expats
in Vallarta group is celebrating its 10th year, and they've been active all summer as well. So they used to only be active during high season, and now they've expanded to all year. So they've just recently released their events for late October and early November, so you can meet up with
mm-hmm.
people there. So that's what's going on.
All right. So if people are interested in finding out what's going on, what's the best way to do that?
Best way to do that is to go to banderasnews.com, and it's the largest website in Banderas Bay, and you can find out everything that's going on. Mexico
right.
News, Banderas News, the events, entertainment. What's going on is what's there.
Okay, great. And, of course, I'll post that on my web post about the show. And, Laura, thank you for coming on the program. Enjoy all these activities, guys.
Getting ready. Kids look calm before the storm here because it gets kind of crazy in high season.
Stay moving with all of that food.
I know. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's a lot of eating going on.
A lot of eating, but it sounds like there's a lot of other things too. So
Sometimes it's not quite balanced.
Right. Well, thank you for coming on the program, and I think we'll be on in 2 weeks. Was that before the Halloween? I don't even know. It would be after Halloween, I think. No. Yeah, after Halloween. So.
After Halloween. Ain't no big
yeah.
deal.
Have a great Dia de los Muertos.
Muertos. I will.
Yeah, because that's around the same time. So you'll have to tell us about it when you come back on.
I will have to tell you. I don't do too much anymore. Been there, done that kind of thing.
Okay.
But I may go out for food, so.
There you go. All right, Laura. Well, you have a good evening, and we'll speak to you in
You
two
do.
Weeks.
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right.
Okay,
bye-bye now. All right. So we're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back from the music, our producer, Art Mendoza, will be joining us to talk about his musical and art project coming up very soon. So stick around.
To brothers of the sun, to children of the moon at night, one sees the stars, one hears the bird in flight. Like the beauties in the sea, they live their lives in harmony. One sees the waves, and one hears the song it brings. And Micah's out to play, and Nathan's here to stay a while. And don't go so far away, he's right behind.
Watch him, here he comes.
Save the tears and stay a while. And don't go so far away, he's right behind.
Watch him, here he comes.
All right, and that was the music of Art Mendoza, our producer, who is joining us right now. Hey, Art.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
The sky is up. I'm in a good mood today. Don't ruin it.
So tell us, why are you on this side of the microphone this evening?
I'm on this side of the microphone because I'm going to have an art show and perform at the fantastic restaurant Kranzler's, which is on South Padre Island. And I wanted to play that song because that song was written on that island when Toby Rowe, the group that I started with Dan McKenna, was playing at the Bahia Mar many years ago. And wrote the song about two young boys that I babysat every now and then. But I also like to tell you that Jake Cortez, who is a phenomenal guitar player and singer and writer, will also be playing with me. And it's going to be fun because if anybody knows who he is, they know that it's going to be a phenomenal performance. And as always, usually wherever I play, more musicians show up because they all know that they can all step in a little bit and do some music with us. And, it's going to be very interesting because it's going to be all acoustic. And it's going to be fun. I'm going to also show some of my artwork, a lot of my animation, and some of the freestyle that I've done as well. And I'm working on a piece right now that it's going to be interesting to see if I finish it. And some other things that I've been going through. I never realized how much I draw until I go through all the stuff that I have. But
this is an art show with you playing, with a concert.
No, it's not a concert. It's just a performance. If it were a concert, there wouldn't be any food being served.
Okay.
But it's what people do up in the larger cities. And like I told Ms. Singer, who owns the restaurant, I'm trying to bring a little culture to the island, and she laughed and said, I've been trying to do that for 30 years. So it's kind of like an inside joke of the sandbar that we call the island, and all the people that have been there since it was developed, and all the newcomers that are there that have transplanted their roots into the sandbar.
So Art, is there any fee for coming to this performance?
No. It's all free, and there's going to be some sangria that will be made for the people that are walking in, and also some tapas so you can munch on a little bit. But I guarantee people are going to start eating there, and the restaurant will be open the entire time because the food is phenomenal. We ate there with Janice, I believe, a while back for her birthday, and it was just utterly fantastic. And that's when I first met Ms. Singer. And so it should be fun. It should be a lot of fun. And let me play another song and we can talk some more.
Okay.
This one is Spit, which is called South Padre Island, Texas. And it was also written on the island when I was living there many years ago.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, that was with a full band, but that'll give you an idea that I'll be doing that acoustically, probably with Jake.
So Art, did we say what the date was when this is this performance will be?
Yes, it is on November 30th on Thursday from 7 to 11.
What?
The restaurant stays open at from 5 till 11.
Okay, that's important. Okay. All right.
Well, that's about it.
Well, that sounds great. It should be a lot of fun. Your artwork will be for sale?
Yes, it will be.
Awesome.
Everything's for sale. I'm even for sale if anybody wants to.
Okay.
Let's get out of here.
All right. Okay.
Bye.
So before Art knocks us off the air, tell you what's coming up next week. Next Sunday, October 29th, we'll be back with another great show, and we will have addiction specialist and managing director at Aspen Ridge North and Aspen Ridge Recovery in Denver, Colorado. Cortland Mathers-Suter is joining us to talk about PTSD and addiction. I think that is a really important topic. And we'll have more. We always have art and music or something related to that and a topic and maybe another guest. And you just have to tune in to find out. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show and from upcoming shows, listen to previous shows, read my blog, all of that, go to my website, drmaricarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel on Facebook. But again, if you want the web links and information from this show, look later tonight or early tomorrow morning, drmarakarpel.com, and you'll find it there. And if you want to contact me, give me a call at 512-626-6973 or email me at drmara@drmaracartel.com or through my website. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly blogdlgtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by StoryHouse. And special thanks to my guests, Nathan Driscoll, Laura Gelazunis, and of course, thank you to Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
I almost spoke all the words that I wanted to say. I almost saw what you look like, bless your wall. But almost doesn't count anymore. And a sure thing never will.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.